Hey guys, you're listening to the coolest podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 34, entitled Perfecting Your Style, we chat with the one and only founder of Real Men Real Style, Antonio Centeno.
Hi, it's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com. Welcome to the Elite Man Podcast. Our guest today is a nationally acclaimed fashion expert for men and the founder of Real Men Real Style, Antonio Centeno. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, man.
Hey, you're welcome, Justin. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Can you just tell our listeners a little more about what Real Men Real Style is all about and kind of how you came up with that concept and website?
Sure, Justin. You know how most men don't dress very well?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that every time I talk to somebody about that, they shrug. And if it's, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, my husband or perhaps my brother or, yeah, look at me. I'm not dressed very well. And there is that big problem out there, and we look to solve that. So I use video, I use audio, and I bring my background as a former officer of Marines and my background in evolutionary biology to apply science and military history to make style relevant to the regular guy. Because most men just simply don't care. But if I can get them to care, if I can attach an emotional component and I can show them, hey, this stuff is scientifically based, I have experience. I used to own a custom clothier, so I've dressed and put together thousands of men's wardrobes. So if I can show them, hey, we could create a system that is going to make it easier for you to dress sharp and look good and feel good than what you currently have, doesn't that sound attractive?
Sounds great. So how did you go about, coming up with the Real Men Real Style like site? Like how long ago was that? And like where have you taken it to this point?
So I was hanging a picture in my bathroom when I fell off and I hit my head on the toilet. No, that's anyone knows what movie that comes from. They can probably send you a quick message, but I'm not going to reveal it. But yeah, it wasn't like a eureka moment. What happened is I made a lot of mistakes. Like any business owner out there, you go out there and you try 100 things and you're lucky to get a few of them to stick. And what I found when running my first business, which was a custom clothier, is that a lot of people came to my website because we put out some great information. I started writing with another guy named Brett McKay. He runs a website called The Art of Manliness. And I just found that a lot of people were checking out my articles and were enjoying them and were asking me tons of questions. I was getting calls to my little clothier on the 800 number. And I realized, you know, I just need to head this off. This is like a hydra, and I need to just answer these questions before I get them. So it's what I did. I started writing more, and when I realized that writing really wasn't probably the best avenue for me, I started creating videos. And now it's been, I mean, we're approaching, I think, like 500 videos, and people just love the information we put out. I think most importantly, they find it useful, and they're able to apply it. I mean, we just put out a video on how to roll your shirt sleeves. And it's amazing that you would think something that simple, but we show 5 techniques and a lot of guys have never even thought about certain ways that can actually make their arms look better. The sleeve will stay rolled all day and they actually have more freedom of movement. So there actually is a practical application to the style we teach.
Cool. And you mentioned, I mean, you have such an incredible YouTube presence. You have over 500 videos, you said, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. What do you actually enjoy more? Do you enjoy the video production part or, you know, the article writing part as far as giving information to your audience?
I enjoy, I think, the last part, just giving the information to the audience and really hearing back from them. I would say video is definitely my preferred method of content creation. I can't type to save my life. So I, the first 100 articles I wrote was very painful. I would sometimes spend 12 to 14 hours in a day just trying to write. I would get up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning and be writing till, 7 o'clock that night and knock through some of that stuff. But I think as an entrepreneur going into an industry that you're not familiar with, it's important that you put in those 10,000 hours that you really, because I wrote those first 100 articles and it was so painful and I had to do all this research and I learned so much, I now can, I, in a sense, I got that momentum going, and that's what I've been able to build off of.
Yeah, it's like the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000-hour expert thing, right? Yeah, for sure. Has it just taken you a while to be able to kind of make such like great videos? Like, were you like kind of nervous at first, like being in front of so many people and kind of, you know, being in front of the camera like that? Or was it like, you know, a natural thing to you?
I think I've always felt comfortable putting on a show and jumping in front of a small crowd to give presentations. Even going back to school, I had no problem giving a presentation in front of the classroom. But it definitely is something, if you look at my early videos, they weren't very good. I think I'm green and yellow in a number of my videos. So the coloring was off. The background is off. The sound is not that great. But I didn't give up. I think I've done other interviews out there when I talk about this, but I did 200 videos in 200 days. So a lot of people will say, oh, I gave it a try. Did you really? Did you? I mean, how many times did you try that? Oh, I tried it once. That's not – no. If you really want to make a go towards something, you got to put in the time and effort. You have to give it a great shake. And I was just talking with a gentleman who's about to start a company. I'm like, you got to give it a year, and you've got to give it your full attention. And you've got to work sometimes 6 to 7 days a week, especially now that you're single, you don't have any kids. I've got 4 kids. I'm married. So I'm really restricted the number of hours I'm working because my kids are going to grow up and be out of the house before I know it. But you know, if you're at a point where you really don't have a whole lot of responsibilities, that's when you need to put in those 10,000 hours. I mean, I put in that time when I had my son, and then my daughter was born. And, you know, even around then, we found ways to cut. I haven't had a television in my house since I've had the house, you know, and that's been almost a decade. So it's just you find ways to create time.
Wow. Are you at the point now where you're, you know, comfortable where you're at and kind of like, are you where you want to be, or do you kind of still have some more things you want to do with Real Men Real Style going forward?
I think as, you know, as an entrepreneur, there never is a point that I've reached that I'm satisfied and I'm just going to sit back and rest on my laurels. I definitely don't have the same type of stress. I've got better problems. We all have problems in the world. Some of us have better problems than others. My problems, you know, what do I do with this money coming in? Do I want to invest $10,000 in this project? So we're at a point where, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. It used to be I had to make a decision, am I going to pay my mortgage or am I going to invest in Facebook advertising? You know, those are harder problems. But yet all of those problems, you know, pale in comparison to I was just spent the summer in Ukraine. And when I look at, you know, a lot of people that are 75 years old and their retirement plan is picking through a trash can. So, you know, those are real problems. My problems small compared to that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Antonio, switching gears and kind of talking more about specifics, you know, fashion and kind of what you do. Why do you think clothes make the man?
You know, that's I think a Mark Twain saying. And I think because we're very visual, men more visual than women. And it's just something that we look and we make quick decisions. Actually, we don't even make decisions. It's almost like a reflex. And because of that, what you wear sends an instant signal to others who you are and where you fit in the society. So if you walk around naked, you will be sending a signal. Now, you may be a happy-go-lucky guy, but the police are going to stop right there, and you're going to end up in the back of that squad car. If you are, you know, walking through a big city, it's late at night, and you're simply, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, about, you know, you shouldn't profile someone in a hoodie, but we do. And if you're not aware of that, and if you don't take it, you may be just practicing for the play that you're about to perform, and your hands are going all over the place. But to the family coming up to you, you may look like a drug addict, and you need to be aware that they're making that determination based off your actions and the way that you're dressed and the way that you are perceived. Animals make decisions based off what they see, whether or not they're going to back down or they're going to engage, or they're going to even choose to mate with that other animal that they're interacting with. And visual is very important for the male of the species. For the women, it's actually interesting. It's fragrance is actually the number one indicator.
Oh, that is interesting. Well, I mean, like it or not, like you said, we all kind of judge people by how they look. It's just the way we're wired, you know, innately, and especially, you know, men more than women. Like you say, it's kind of interesting how women operate on the sense of smell more than sight. But What are your thoughts about, you know, dressing to impress should, as opposed to wearing like casual clothes? Like, cause I mean, you see it, especially in our day and age, it seems like more people are getting more and more casual. Like, do you think we got to kind of, you know, step it back a little bit, kind of how it used to be, and dress like a little more respectable or more presentable? Or do you think casual is fine as long as you keep it, you know, the right casual?
I think a man needs to define what's important to him and what message is he trying to send. So if you're a fireman and, I mean, your uniform, I mean, as much as you can't just show up to a fire dressed in a suit, just isn't going to make sense. You need to wear your uniform because that sends a signal of authority. And when you tell people to get out of here, they listen to a man, you know, that's wearing a fire suit because of that signal. And the same thing, if you're in sales, if you are in, you know, you work in IT, there are certain things that we wear that work for that industry, send signals of trust and meet, you know, your position. Because if you work for a construction company, but you're the lawyer of a construction company that does $200 million, doesn't matter. You don't wear a hard hat and you don't wear, you know, casual overalls and stuff to work. You're the lawyer. You represent not only you represent your profession. Now, since you work as a lawyer for a construction company, you can probably dress a bit more casual than a lawyer that works for an IT firm out of New York City. But you just need, you know, all of that plays into, and that's why I really don't like to throw out general statements. I try to say it really depends on, again, the signal that you're trying to send.
What are some of the bigger fashion mistakes you see men making aside from, you know, some of the more obvious ones like fitted clothes and how well something fits you?
Well, I would say that the fit is the obvious one. And, you know, as much as I know maybe you're looking for, and there are three things I usually focus on: fit, fabric, and function. So zeroing in on that, I will say that fit is just so important. And most men never take any action with it. They don't know the name of their tailor. And it's something that I really, I don't know how else to press hard on it. But the other one is going to be, you know, making sure that the function of the clothing, again, you're wearing the right item for the situation, for what you're doing. What I wear at home is different than what I wear in the office. What I wear when I'm going to be going giving a presentation is different. So I'm just making sure that I'm wearing the right item, the right piece of, you know, the right outfit to the right event. So if I'm going to, you know, the gym in the morning, I've got specific clothing, but I don't necessarily wear that same clothing into when I'm going to go meet, you know, with my teacher or my wife, my daughter's teachers at the school, or I'm coming into my office for an interview and I could potentially have somebody stop by.
What are a couple of things that guys can do right now to improve their appearance in all different kinds of aspects, whether that be fashion or clothing, grooming, et cetera? Like what are some basic things that some guys that are listening to the podcast can do right now to just kind of make themselves better presentable and give a better self-image?
So I'm a big fan of Kaizen, and that's the idea of small incremental improvements over time yield big results. Because if you know, at the end of the year, everyone's got their New Year's resolutions and 98% of people fall off the bandwagon within the first month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we try to make these huge monumental changes and they just don't work. So I already talked about, you know, taking your clothing to a tailor. That would be that's something that's going to not take too much time. Your wallet, yes, is going to maybe hurt just a bit. You're going to maybe spend $100, but you know what? All that clothing is going to fit you better. But another thing that you can do, which isn't going to cost as much and is going to, over the long term, make sense, is setting up routines, setting up a time on Sunday that you actually prepare and lay out your clothes. You know, you prepare your shoes, you iron all of your clothes at once, and you make it easier to dress well the next day. I recommend that men set their clothing out the night before. I've got three daughters that, you know, one of them, she definitely is a fashionista, and she'll change 3 to 4 times. Unless we have and we go through that procedure at night and she's got her perfect outfit laid out there in the morning. So then even if she wakes up late, you know, it's easier for her to wear the clothing that's right there than it is to try to go back into the closet and build something out new.
What are some of the best places that guys can find, you know, great deals on clothes that that look great but aren't really as expensive as some of maybe the higher end clothing?
So if you've got the time, I'm going to recommend, you know, go checking out thrift stores. For those of you guys on a budget, thrift stores are just some of the best deals. And you're kind of freeing yourself from the fashion trends, because thrift stores, just a lot of the stuff in there may be 10 to 15 years old. But you know what? It still works. And if it fits you, you're going to get stuff for pennies on the dollar. But let's say that you want to go out there and you don't want to deal with thrift stores, or you're in a kind of a more remote area. Then you're going to want to go check out, you know, websites like Joe over at Dappered. He's got a great website that focuses in on good deals. Follow someone, you know, follow a blogger who suits your style. So if you're in New York City or you've lived in San Francisco, you want to go check out Baron over at The Effortless Gent. Him and his wife, Katie, they've lived in both cities, and they're putting out some great stuff for the urban gentleman. If you're a short man, you want to go check out, you know, Brock over at The Modest Man. Great website. And he focuses on men who are under 5'7". So he talks about brands which suit you. And that's the thing to zero in on. Find a style blogger that you just connect with, and you're going to find that he's going to magically recommend the right brands because they suit him. They're going to suit you.
Great advice. We just actually had, Brock on. He had some awesome, awesome tips for shorter guys, and also, you know, just guys in general. I mean, guys, just full of all kinds of styling and fashion knowledge for men. He's a really great guy, and he has even, better advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Brock's a great guy. And I didn't even mention like Aaron Marino or Jer Wu. These are all, you know, YouTube guys that have a huge presence and are doing really well. Jer, you know, this guy, he's relatively young, and he's down in Florida. Aaron Marino, he's a lot bigger. He's got a bigger channel than me. He's a good friend. And he's more, I would say, more fashion forward in a lot of the things he talks about. But yeah, find your guru, and then just, you know, you'll just find there's plenty in a lot of these guys' channels.
Yeah, there's a lot of great names. Aaron too. There's so much awesome information out there, you know, in this kind of community that we're in. And a lot of people you mentioned too are just some of the top guys in the business. Antonio, do you have any thoughts on slim fitted suits and kind of the style that is in right now, and, you know, what you recommend as far as that?
Well, if you're a slim man, you know, wear a slim fitted suit. But if you're a large man, don't try to fit into this. This is, I mean, best case is it's going to look okay on you. Worst case, you're going to look like a clown. So you want to go focus on proportions. And that's why, again, it's important that you're looking, you're not falling into the whimsical winds of fashion. You're focused on classic style. Because lucky for us, I mean, if you focus on classic style, you're going to look great 10 years from now wearing pretty much what you have. And I know some of you guys, you know, maybe that are 20 years old. Okay, 10 years sounds like a long time. But for those of us that are, you know, 35, 40, we realize time goes by pretty quick. And it is something that it's nice when that tie that you bought 10 years ago, you can still get some mileage out of it.
Antonio, what are your thoughts on wearing shorts? Do you think, or how do you actually like pull off wearing shorts? Because obviously it's the summertime now, it's hot. A lot of guys don't want to be wearing pants, but at the same time, they don't want to, you know, kind of look goofy with some of the different kind of styles of shorts out there. What do you recommend for pulling this off?
Well, I always think it's interesting that most of the world doesn't wear shorts, and especially even in a lot of equator countries. And shorts are one of those things that used to be a boy's, part of a boy's uniforms. It was something that children wore. In many parts of the world, it's still viewed as something that children wear. I'm a big fan of tropical weight trousers, of linen trousers, and I've worn this in very hot weather. I find it works just fine. But if I'm going to wear shorts, I'm going to make sure it's the right occasion. And then I have no issue wearing cargo shorts when I'm out hiking. Cargo shorts when I'm out with my kids at Disneyland, and I need those cargo pockets to carry waters and pacifiers and all these other things. So I'm, you know, that, and that's where they come from. They come from the military. They've got a background being able to move stuff around. So if you're not going to be needing that much stuff, then wear shorts that I like them a couple inches above the knee. I also like it when they're plain and they don't have any pockets on the side. They've got, you know, they're also usually made from a little bit nicer of a cotton, so that they're not, if they wrinkle quite a bit, and that's what you usually see. So if you go to, let's say, Old Navy or Banana Republic, oftentimes you're getting a lower quality cotton that's going to wrinkle quite a bit. Not that big of a deal. You can just iron them. But I would say that, you know, if you can avoid the pockets, I'm, you know, khaki, tan, blue, all of those, you know, colors work fine. And then, you know, match it with, you know, a pair of, you know, find some shoes or some slip on. I'm a big fan of, you know, what do I wear usually? Boat shoes. I've got some other, you know, casual loafers that I'll throw on. You can wear a no-show sock. So.
Okay, I think this is the perfect time to take a quick break from our show to let you know about our Kickstarter campaign going on right now. If you go to Kickstarter.com and type in the words Elite Man Conference, you'll see our Kickstarter campaign pop right up. Again, that's Elite Man Conference. We're trying to have an Elite Man Conference this fall. All the best experts from the podcast coming to one event. So basically 30 to 40 of the world's best self-help experts in the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, dating, psychology, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. This will be a three-day event in Boston this fall if we can get our goal. So check it out right now. If you can back it, please do so. All donations are greatly appreciated, and you'll help make this Elite Man Conference come to life. So again, it's Kickstarter.com and Elite Man Conference. You can also click right in the description and show notes, as we're going to have a link to the Kickstarter page. So please pause the episode right now and check it out. So for those of you who did pause the episode and are replaying it, and for those of you who did not, we are back to the show now.
Antonio, what are some great casual things to wear? Like, what do you wear personally when you go out just for like a day out in town? You know, if you're going to the movies, going to the grocery store, what does your outfit look like? Do you ever wear things like T-shirts or jeans or anything like that?
I wear jeans quite a bit. So, you know, people think I sleep in a suit, but the reality is I live in a small town of 1,000 people, and the big city, which is Wausau, has 30,000 people, and that's half an hour away. So if I wore a suit, I would really, it just wouldn't fit in. No one in my town or even the big city wears a suit. So occasionally to an event, I will wear a sports jacket and odd trousers. I rarely ever wear a suit in the state of Wisconsin. It's just, yeah, and that's usually I'm wearing the sports jacket and shirt, you know, because I'm representing my family and I also represent my business. So I understand, you know, I really don't care what anyone else is wearing when I'm going to, you know, my daughter's play at the school, or I'm going to be, you know, taking my son to my wife to an important event or a nice dinner in Wausau. However, for most days, I'm simply wearing a casual collared shirt, jeans. I've got a wide variety of shoes. Seems like companies always are sending me shoes to test out. But I do. I'm a big fan of the double monk strap. And I've got Paul Evans. I believe they've got. Let me pull up the name of that one right now. But I love their double monk. And yeah, you know let me see. Wear a belt. Occasionally I've got Anson belt and buckle. They make a pretty good one. Yeah. It's called the Poitier, double monk strap. So if you can go check that out, I like that because I can dress my shoes up a bit, and that's something that people do notice. Even with jeans, I can, you know, it may, my entire outfit may appear to be pretty casual, but because I'm wearing, those double monk strap, people notice and I still feel a little bit dressed up.
Those the double monk strap. Those are the shoes you wear.
Probably, I'm going to do a video about it because I find that there are certain items that I wear all the time, mm-hmm. and literally, you know, I have definitely gotten my money's worth. But I know this sounds bad. I've probably got like 30 pairs of shoes, just because people send them to me all the time. So.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. I guess that's a good perk of having such a big audience.
Yeah, it's one of the when you're in this industry, it's what they, you know, what they send and they want you to talk about. So,
yep. Antonio, you talk about a good amount of different topics on RMRS and on your YouTube channel. And one of the things you typically talk about is grooming. Do you have any grooming tips for men, and you know how to actually groom themselves the right way and maybe be the best kind of style that they want it to be?
Yeah, I would say, and this goes back to, you know, habits and small things, but you need to have a routine. You need to, and consider experimenting. So many guys, they use the same deodorant for two decades and they never even think about it. They use the same shampoo and they never relate the fact that they've got dandruff, or that they actually get a very dry scalp, or that they get pimples on the top of their head, that it could be related to the actual products that they're using. And we, you know, I'm a I grew up in where everything, we always shopped at Walmart. We always went with the cheapest brands. But one thing I've learned is that there is a huge difference. So look for some of those trouble areas. Perhaps you get a really dry skin on your face. Well, you know what? You should look at a good face care routine. I was just talking with Josh Meyer, who's one of the founders of Brickle, and they're a great product. They were actually out at my my StyleCon event in Atlanta, and they've got a routine. It's called the Daily Essential Men's Face Care Routine, and I love it because they really make it simple. You can set up a subscription, and Brickle will send you a face moisturizer and a face wash, along with email reminders how to use it. And they go into exact. So all of a sudden, if you've got, you know, really do something about, you know, feel better about your face. People see this multiple times. It's how you communicate with the world. And if you can get rid of that super oily skin, or if you can feel like you don't have, you know, flakes coming off your nose, I think you're going to feel a little bit more confident. And that's what I get excited about. When a guy controls and he masters his appearance so he can focus on what really matters, which is, you know, getting that engineering product or project approved, or working with that customer so that they're really happy with the new car they just bought, and that, you know, you're able to, you know, have a nicer commission check at the end of the month.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important to just kind of feel your best and, you know, make sure you don't have like I feel like pimples and things like that are a big cause for a lot of the insecurity and self-consciousness that, you know, a lot of guys face when they don't have that thing down. So it is very, very important that you do take care of that. Antonio, you're also one of the topics you talk about on your site is communication, and you have a lot of articles and videos, you know, kind of concerning this topic. Can you have any general tips about becoming a better communicator?
You've got to practice. It's not something anyone's born with, and even the best are constantly improving. So I was watching Jordan Harbinger over at the Art of Charm. I watched him give a presentation, and I'd seen him present, but he just made a huge leap. And I know that he went through, I think it was one of Michael Port's programs, but he, you know, it's always look to improve. Doesn't matter where you're at, who you are. I've got an advantage because I do so many videos and I've done enough interviews that I feel pretty good jumping into this. But I know that I use crutch words, that I can be more precise. I can get to the point. And so don't rest on your laurels, and realize even the best communicators in the world are constantly refining themselves and improving themselves. It's like showering. You don't just train and do it once and you're good to go for the rest of your life. You need to shower every day. And I think that communication is something that you need to constantly work on and look to improve.
That's right. Practice makes perfect, as they say. And
I would even interject that perfect practice makes perfect.
Perfect practice. That's good. Yeah, doing it the right way, obviously.
Exactly.
You know, you just can't really just half-ass it and think, you know, the more times you do it, the better you're going to get. If you actually do it the right way and, you know, like you say, the perfect way, it definitely works out best. Antonio, just a couple more questions and then we got to kind of wrap things up. It's been a really awesome interview so far, though. I do appreciate it. You kind of touched upon a few minutes ago, you know, about deodorants and, you know, smelling good and making sure you have your grooming down. Are there any, what are your thoughts on cologne? And are there any specific colognes that you kind of recommend that are some of the better ones out there? Because I know a lot of guys struggle with finding like a good solid cologne and, you know, kind of even finding a scent that really accentuates their own personal smell.
Well, I am going to recommend, Justin, I'm going to recommend that if they are interested in the subject, they need to go follow Dave over at Fragrance Bros. He's very approachable. The guy's down in Alabama, and he's passionate and he loves to help people. I'm currently working on a book with him, and we're going to be tackling this very subject because I find that 80% of men in the United States do not wear fragrance on a regular basis. And the 20% that do, well, I just find that industry is very hard to understand and to penetrate. And this is coming from a guy that, you know, has owned a custom clothier, and I talk about style all the time, but I find it very confusing. So when I see something like that, I see huge opportunity. I can tell you that we are working on a line of fragrances, and my goal is to make it simple. A man has the innate ability to choose the right fragrance. But where do we get fragrances from? Where do you think, Justin, where do most men get a fragrance from?
Amazon or Walmart.
Yeah, but who gets it for us? Do we choose it ourselves?
A girlfriend, a wife, exactly. Or mother.
And honestly, 80% of the time, they're going to choose, I know it's like 75% of the time, they're going to choose the wrong fragrance for us. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, so 25% of the time, we get lucky and we're like, oh, we like this. But most of the time, we're like, thank you. We wear it once and we put it away and we never put it on again. Have you ever, has that happened to you?
Yeah, I've got like six colognes sitting in my room that I have used once or twice.
Exactly. And unfortunately, it's because they don't naturally enhance your smell. And there's a wide, so we're working to address that problem. And if anyone, you know, wants to know more, they can reach out to me. But I would say that Dave over at Fragrance Bros is going to be the best person. If you're looking to take action right now, then just simply go to a larger, I really recommend like a store like Nordstrom's, go to their fragrance department. And actually, I mean, they usually employ pretty smart people or find someone that can help you do a blind test and find the one that works for you and then practice wearing it. So those are the things. You got to practice wearing it, get used to wearing it, because fragrance is – it's the number one indicator of whether – when a woman's choosing – and I'll put out a video soon about this. When she's choosing a mate or if she's going to, you know, basically take once she meets a man, if she makes the decision very quickly if he would make a good sexual partner based off of how you smell. And if you smell bad, nothing is ever going to happen. It's something that sticks with them and they remember it and they don't even know why, but you're just not their type. But really, it's a lot of it comes down to fragrance. Men don't get this because our fragrance or our smell is not as developed as women's in general. And for us, the most important thing is the visual.
For sure. Antonio, just a quick question for, you know, our entrepreneurial kind of segment on networking. I once heard that you networked with, I think, Pat Flynn and kind of sent him like a, you know, some fashion tips and gave him a bunch of good insights and stuff and, you know, kind of set you up in like a great way to connect with him or something. Do you have any other like good tips as far as like networking online and kind of reaching out? Because you have such a great audience and, you know, following at this point. And I think coming from you, it'd really be great to kind of hear a couple of networking tips and maybe some insights into what works best.
I get about 10 to 15 emails a day via my form. And in addition to that, I get probably another 100 emails. And then we probably get another 100 to 200 comments on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all these other platforms. And I can tell you 95% of people are me, me, me. Can you help me? Can you solve my problem? And so doctors have the same issue. Like most medical doctors, you ask them, they get tired of being around sick people, people that want to tell them they're, you know, they just have problems all day. They really just sometimes want to be around people that aren't trying to ask. So I would say if you want to connect with someone that has a lot on their plate, find a way to add value and don't expect anything in return. Half the time I add value to somebody, I never hear back from them. It's not that they're a bad person. It's simply they're busy. But what's funny is they don't forget that. They remember that because so many people, I rarely ever get someone that just comes in and just gives value without, and the law of reciprocity only works if it's truly you're just giving. If you are expecting something back, you destroy it. It falls on its face because that's being manipulative. But if you just find a way to give to those in your industry who you admire and give them something of real value, that right there is rare. And I find it's the quickest way to be remembered and to have others reach down and grab your hand to pull you up.
Awesome, man. It's great advice. Antonio, what is your proudest professional accomplishment up until this point?
You know, I'd have to say it's having to hire people to answer all the thank yous that we get and to categorize the testimonials. So that's, you know, it doesn't, in a way we can track a little bit to the bottom line, but to actually, you know, when I did my, so I'd say the proudest thing was launching StyleCon with Aaron Marino, who's my business partner on it, and getting about 30 of my peers in a room together. And for us just to hang out, get to know each other, and to be able to work with and help 30 other business owners, 60 super fans who came from around the world, and for over 100 men just to be able to hang out with no agenda except to help each other out. That was probably one of my biggest, you know, in person was my biggest, you know, professional accomplishment.
Awesome. Yeah, and we definitely heard a lot of good things about the StyleCon event. You know,
doing it again. So it's
coming up in March, I think, right?
Yep. Yep. And we're excited. I mean, we're going to get, and it's one of those things that, yeah, we're excited because this time, you know, we broke even this last time. This next time we're, you know, we've already gotten some sponsors on board and we're flipping around and just immediately like my, you know, I'm looking to take care of my speakers now. That's my next thing is to treat my speakers really well. And we're going to, so we've already got a great lineup of guys that are getting ready for it. And, you know, I want to double the attendance. And if I can do that for the next 5 years, we'll have a sizable conference by the year 2020.
Awesome, man. We definitely look forward to, you know, checking that out more. And there's nothing but great feedback from that so far. So, you know, we're all going to be looking forward to that. Antonio, is there any last takeaway message or kind of send off you'd like to leave our Elite Man audience?
You know, I'll just say get out there and take action.
Awesome, man. Short and sweet and very profound. Thanks again, man, for coming on our show today. I know our audience is really going to love this one and definitely appreciate your time. So thank you.
You're welcome, Justin. Take care.